Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamara. Here's Jen Latta.
Debate about an awful lot of things in the sports space. Like, for one, why are my headphones not working?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't like where I'm sitting. We're off to a weird start today. All right, we're off to a really weird start.
Well, somebody TKO'd your microphone.
I mean, that is putting it lightly. What the hell happened during KBN yesterday?
Yeah, it looks like kung fu fighting.
I have asks out to some sources to see what happened.
I mean, did they just Office Space that thing? They bring in a baseball bat and just go to town? Like, all that's left of what should be a microphone are just a couple of wires and a little nub.
Some might say a band of gold. Chewy's not here today. Hanging out with his pals, taking a personal day. So Gabe has slid over to Chewy's spot, and it feels weird.
It feels weird. I don't like it. Because again, usually to talk to Jen, I go to my right. Now that's where Will is. To my left, it's Jen. I don't like it.
This
I don't like it.
Reminds me of when, I believe it was the philosopher David Bakhtiari.
Yep.
Might not have been, but it was definitely an offensive lineman for your Green Bay Packers, who said that switching from left side to right side was trying to wipe your you-know-what with the other hand.
With the other hand, yeah.
Is this what it feels like, you think?
Yeah, it's ugly, but it gets the job done, I believe, is the remaining part of that quote.
It's a great quote.
You say I'm ugly?
No, that's
call
not
me ugly, kid.
Are we going to have sensitive
What's
Will
going
in today?
On?
You managed to survive Chewy's attempted assassination on your career yesterday, on your baseball career. You survived that, but you're going to be sensitive when I use the word ugly, when he uses the word ugly. We're not talking about you, Will. It's not always about you.
No, I'm talking about what used to be my microphone. Like, honestly, we got Craig coming in here tonight. I guess he can be cozy with Jen, sit right next to Jen there.
Oh, yeah, of course.
We got that extra mic over there.
I'm going to text the KBN crew, see what happens.
When you said you had asks out to sources, I just assumed that that's who you were texting. You texted someone other than the KBN crew?
It's my sources. I got sources,
good,
Jen.
Yeah, a good reporter never reveals those sources, Jen. You know that. Yeah, it's just weird. I don't... Okay, maybe we'll get used to it by the end, but turning left to look at you to talk to you is just... It's going to throw me off the entire day.
Yeah. It's like when you're in Europe and you have to drive on the other side of the road.
I have fortunately avoided doing that.
Oh.
Have you done that?
Yeah. Mixed reviews.
Okay. All right.
There may have been an incident.
I wasn't going to out you, all right? I
feel like the statute of limitations is passed on that at this point, right?
Did you cause an international incident?
No, not really. But when we were in Berlin, you know, you drive on the other side of the road. So making left turns, that's a doozy.
Okay.
Because you're on the other side of the car and you're making the left turn.
Yeah.
So I may have misjudged.
So does left turn have the right of way then? Like
I don't
the right
know.
Turn does?
I don't speak German. What do the signs say?
I said it in English.
Yes.
The question was in English. It's a good point by Will.
Excellent point by you. But what I'm saying is the signage that would have been instructing me one way or another is in another language. Want to get to the big news today that Pat Murphy, and I don't know if it's big news. It's big news for Pat. It's big news for the Brewers. But it sort of falls under the no-brainer. It sort of falls under the duh category. Brewers manager Pat Murphy's contract extended through 2028 with a club option for 2029. I think, you know, Brewers fans should be celebrating this. But also, if you didn't do this, Milwaukee Brewers, what the hell were you doing? Pat Murphy is your back-to-back National League Manager of the Year, Gabe. And I got to tell you, I don't know, and I'm not so far as Chewy is on the I will believe anything, follow anything that the Milwaukee Brewers put out there. But this, to me, is absolutely something I can get behind.
Yeah, I mean, back-to-back Manager of the Year in the National League. Apparently, I didn't even realize this until this contract yesterday. This was the last year of the contract, which I guess makes sense, giving him a 3-year deal, taking over for Craig. So they wanted to make sure, hey, we're going to take care of that. We're not going to have the lame duck situation. Add 2 more years plus a club option. He's now one of the highest paid managers in all of baseball. And that just, again, it just makes me chuckle and laugh because he takes over after being the bench coach for Craig Counsell. And it's just funny to me because Craig left in part. Now it helps that the Cubs made him the highest paid manager in baseball. Brewers weren't going to make him, you know, the highest paid manager ever, but they're going to give him pretty good money like they just gave to Murph. And, well, he wanted the money. He wanted more money to spend. And all he's done the last 2 years is continuously lose to Pat Murphy and the Milwaukee Brewers. So you could have had it all, Craig. Could have had it all up here. But instead, Murph took over and just brings a slight smile to my face that that Murph has been able to extend this and make an NLCS last year and see what they can do this year with Murph.
I will tell you that this is one of those universal situations. What do I mean by that? I have never heard a person say a single bad thing about Pat Murphy, right? And the more success you have in any given field, the more you'll find detractors. Most of it's envy, right? Mm-hmm. Jealousy. But I have never heard anyone say a bad thing about this guy.
Yeah.
I've never heard them, you know, question his, certainly his coaching acumen, but just a good dude and a leader, right? Like, you got people in other positions and sometimes you're questioning their leadership skills. Will, you got that sound from Pat Murphy addressing the team just a few days ago when they all reported to Maryvale for spring training. I mean, this is just another example of, like, this guy was made to be a leader, to be a coach, to be in this position. Take a listen.
Call us whatever you want, underdog. Call us whatever the hell you want. We found out what matters. It's who's in this room. What we got in this room, we can do anything we want. We're about people. We're about teams. Wherever you're from, whatever color you are, whatever you believe in, as long as you want to commit to winning baseball. Not Major League Baseball's way of saying, on paper, this team is this. We don't care. This is who we want to become. We got to pitch, we got to base run, we got to defend, play offense. That's how we do it. And we don't worry about what anybody thinks. We stick to our standards, and you'll have another incredible season. And don't be shocked.
Chills.
Yep.
I mean, the music helps.
Yeah, the classical post-production music helps. As somebody who puts these things together for a living, I understand the impact that a good track can have on a segment. But there was something about it, Gabe, right? We're just listening to it also. You can watch it. The Brewers have shared it on all of their social media platforms, so you can watch it as well. But what is it about Murph that he makes you feel that way, even when you're not one of his players?
Yeah, I mean, again, I think he keeps it short and sweet. He doesn't... It's not a mystery. Like, you have, it's never a mystery with Murph. He's going to let you know where you stand. He's going to be up front with you. He know everybody. How long was that clip, Will? 50 seconds?
40 seconds.
And you already know what your expectations are. Like, everybody in that room, if you're listening, now you know what your expectations are. Yeah, maybe individually those things tweak a little bit. But in 40 seconds, he was able to effectively communicate what your expectations for an entire season of baseball are. And that's rare, to be that effective a communicator, that good of a leader, and have everybody just respect you. Like you said, I mean, you can find guys that don't like certain coaches and might speak off the record, might speak on the record as players. I haven't seen that at all. I mean, even going back, I mean, this guy's been in baseball for how long? And doing it at all different levels, doing it at the collegiate level, the minor league level, at the major league level, he's done it all. And I think because he has that type of experience, that just commands the respect of everybody that he's trying to lead in the Brewers clubhouse.
All right, so this is a weird analogy, but follow me through this sliding doors moment. If the Brewers would have given Craig Counsell nearly $9 million, because I think that's reported what the number is. Did I see eight something?
Yeah, 8 or 9, whatever.
8.95 is what Jeff Passan is reporting. So let's, a tick under $9 million. Would Craig Counsell still be the skipper of the Milwaukee Brewers?
If they offered, well, so the 8.95 is new money, so I don't know how that's spread out for Murph. But if they would have given the same contract, the $8 million to Counts, $8 million per year, the way that the Cubs did, I doubt it. I doubt it. I think that ultimately for Counsell, it was more about what he thought the money the Cubs have and spend and can spend, and I think we know the Cubs could even spend a little bit more. I think that was what was enticing to him. I think that he felt like there was a glass ceiling on the Brewers that they just can't break through. And again, maybe he ends up being right, but he's got to beat the Brewers first. And that's the funny part to me, is the team that's preventing him from doing the things he wants to do is his old team. And I hope that just continues into 2026 and 2027 and 2028 and maybe 2029 with a club option for Pat Murphy.
What percentage of the manager in place slash coach, of course, if we're going cross sports here, contributes to your confidence in the team, in the franchise each year? I would argue it's pretty big. Now, I know there are detractors out there that say that coaching doesn't matter in certain spaces. I hear it all the time about the NBA, that the coaching doesn't matter. Okay, I don't believe that. I think that coaching still matters. You got to remember, I'm the daughter of a coach, so I'm probably programmed to believe that. I still call every person who is a coach, coach, even when I know their first name, even when I'm chummy with them. Hey, coach, how's it going? No, Jen, you can call me Drake. Okay. Thanks, coach. But I think it's important. I think it's significant. And I think Pat Murphy is an example of, when you talk about the reasons why Chu, who again is not here with us today, is confident year in and year out about the Brewers' ability to compete, to put a good product on the field. Yes, it comes down to what Matt Arnold and the front office do and the buttons they push and the levers they pull. But I think a lot of his confidence is knowing that Murph is captaining that ship. Do you agree?
I think for the Brewers, it matters more than a team. Now, I think Dave Roberts is a very good manager for the Dodgers, but I know Yankee fans don't like Aaron Boone, right? But they're still going to be one of those teams because they spend money. Same thing with the Mets, same, right? So I think for the Brewers, who are trying to get an advantage in every single area where they can, because they don't have the money advantage. They're never going to have that. Even if you think Atanasio should spend more money, that doesn't matter. They can't spend Dodger money, Met money, that type of thing. So for a team that, you know, spends, we talked a lot yesterday about how much they've invested into their minor league system, because that's an advantage they think that they can pull from. You know, they think that, hey, we're going to be a team that base runs and defends because we can get an advantage there. Having Murph be that guy, even if it's just the difference of a win or two wins, right? Over the course of 162, doesn't seem like that much, but can mean so much in the standing. So for a team like the Brewers, having somebody that makes you feel great about the team, and let's be honest, I mean, he's one of the faces of the franchise, because the Brewers have a little bit more turnover than the rest of the teams do, because they're not signing guys to huge contracts. So he ends up being one of the stars of the team, and I think that's part of the reason why you feel good about the Brewers, because you know and trust the guy that's in charge.
Interesting when you mention face of the franchise, because obviously for so many people, Bob Uecker came to mind.
Mm-hmm.
And Bob will always be inextricably tied to this franchise, to this community, to this city, etc. But it is interesting how the timelines sort of crossed over. And now with Uke being gone, not the voice of Brewers baseball anymore, Murph has had the success. Murph has been the guy, again, two-time National League Manager of the Year. I agree with you. He's the face of the franchise. Like, I don't think there's anybody else right now. Again, Uke was always that guy.
Yeah.
And this is taking nothing away from him, but there sort of was this passing of the torch, and it doesn't happen if Murph isn't having the level of success he's having. Now, we just played the audio for you from Murph in the clubhouse addressing his team, getting them all pumped up. Gabe and I are ready to run through a freaking brick wall this morning. Just for funsies.
Why are you doing this? What are you doing?
What are you doing?
What do you mean it's not you? You're the one setting it up.
Yeah, what are you doing, Jen?
what are you doing? You already threw Matt under the bus once this week.
Will.
You're going to do it again?
We're just comparing extended coaches.
Will got in my ear and said, don't forget. Sorry, Will, you're a meat shield now. Play the audio.
Every time you step on that court, you play like that. You'd be tough, a really tough team to beat. But that was fun to watch. Keep it rolling now. One day at a time. Let's stack this.
All right. This is first of all, that's not even Matt's team. All right. Who knows if he was planning on speaking that night. And he doesn't, you know what? I bet that would sound better if you put that sweet music underneath it.
Yeah.
I bet you save it a little bit.
You're going to do that during one of these breaks, and we're going to test that theory. That's for sure.
It would sound a lot better, I think.
I think we might need to give Chewy an extension after his speech yesterday, too.
Why not, you guys? Why not? No one's counting, huh? You know, you just go out there and play. Screw Michigan. Screw Ohio State. Just go out and beat them.
Channel.
You know,
Signetti
it all starts right here with heart. Okay? I know y'all have a heart, but how big is that thing?
It's not bad.
I mean, that's closer to LaFleur than it is.
Ah, I think it's in the middle.
The fact that he ends the speech with, how big is that thing?
I know you got one.
I'm sure there would be an appropriate gesture to the heart, right?
He'd
be tapping
he was,
up here,
yes, with
right?
his pen. Oh, yeah.
But you were thinking of a different gesture he might have been making?
I'm just saying, we can't see him, so use your imagination. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Congratulations to Pat Murphy, who got an extension with the Milwaukee Brewers. Well-deserved, no-brainer, no shock. It's a dumb moment for the organization, but I'm glad they got it tied up, taken care of, so it doesn't linger and cause any distractions as the season gets underway. We've got Jason Wilde coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Stick around.
In healthcare, change is constant. At Fifth Third Bank, we help you organize your organization thrive with local expertise and comprehensive financial solutions. From optimizing capital structure to revenue cycle management and commercial payment tools, we're here to empower your growth. For nearly 20 years, our dedicated Milwaukee team has partnered with healthcare and not-for-profit organizations, building trust-based relationships that last. Experience the difference only Fifth Third can provide to help your organization thrive, especially with the great people they have at Fifth Third here in Milwaukee. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy continues next on 94.5 ESPN.
Ready? Put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is brought to you by Exterior Pros. Ready to tackle your home improvement project? Exterior Pros and Baths is giving $3,000 off roofing, siding, windows, or bath remodels this month. Visit extpros.com.
We really enjoy our time with our friend and teammate, Jason Wilde. Good morning, Jason. How are you doing today?
Heidely ho, neighbors. How are you?
Heidely ho, home improvement.
We're still getting used to the setup we got today, Jason. Somebody took a baseball bat to the microphone I typically use. Apparently, it's a mystery because it was fine for Brad Nortman on KBN yesterday. So now the big guy's gone, so I'm sitting in his chair, which is opposite. So like, in order to look at Jen, I have to turn to my left instead of my right. It's very disorienting.
Yeah, we have video cameras in there, right? So you should, I don't want to turn this into like a Law and Order episode or FBI, but shouldn't we be able to determine who the perpetrator was?
I don't think these cameras are recording at all times. I think they're only recording while we're actually doing things on the radio.
Well, sounds like we might want to reconsider that policy.
Just have the cameras rolling nonstop. Will has a theory as he gets the appropriate music ready for this.
I don't know if I have a theory.
You think it was stolen?
I think it was stolen. I have video.
Who's stealing a microphone?
I don't know.
And why would you steal that specific microphone? You got to pass two other microphones to get to that
that's
one.
A very good
that
point
is the
by
part
you.
That gets me. You walked past two other microphones to get to that third one that was taken.
Maybe.
And there
maybe
was no email
personal.
Sent out. Oh, well, that Gabe, that would be your microphone. Do we want to continue to pull on this thread?
That could consider the motives here. Maybe there's someone who is so jealous of Gabe's incredible national success. I get texts all the time. Hey, Gabe is on the radio, from Hype Jim and my other friends who are big fans of Gabe. Maybe there's some jealousy here, and someone said, you know what? I'm going to mess with this guy, Mr. Big Time National Radio Guy. I'm going to steal his microphone. I like that theory.
Imagine their disappointment
just call me
this morning.
Lenny Briscoe.
Imagine their disappointment this morning, Law and Order, when Gabe just slid over to the other side of the studio.
Yeah, but it's making him uncomfortable.
It is making me uncomfortable.
He's bellyaching about it. Uh-huh. So
that's true.
Maybe the goal has been accomplished.
I don't think
him off his game.
We can't eliminate Gabe from the investigation, too, right?
What?
Oh, you think
I did this?
Yeah.
To myself?
Oh, maybe.
Self-sabotage? Job.
The call is coming from inside the house?
As the lead investigator here, I have to consider all options.
How did you get appointed lead investigator?
If Will is the lead investigator, I don't see this case getting closed.
Not a bad point.
All right, Jason, let's pivot to the Green Bay Packers. I saw a list that Mike Clay of ESPN put out, basically compiling all of the offensive linemen who theoretically would be back next season for each of the teams in the league. And I got to be honest with you, I wasn't super excited about the performance of the offensive line in Green Bay compared to what is a projected offensive line for the Bears, the Lions, mm-hmm. or the Vikings. It was the worst. That's an easy way of putting it. How concerned should we be about the Packers' offensive line? Usually they're good about backfilling these things and having these people like ready to step in and take over when free agents are leaving. Are we on a DEFCON level here?
Yes, you should be very concerned. I think it's, with the possible exception of corner, I think it's the biggest thing to worry about if you're a Packers fan. If the season started today, which obviously it doesn't, it would be Jordan Morgan at left tackle. I don't know. We can't say for certain that it would be with his $24.7 million cap number. I don't think we can say for certain that it's Aaron Banks at left guard. I still think they're more likely to restructure than cut ties, but I'm not ruling that out. But let's just say Aaron Banks at left guard, for argument's sake. Jacob Monk at center, Anthony Belton at right guard, and then we can't say for certain if the season started today, it wouldn't be Zach Tom at right tackle because he's coming off patellar tendon surgery. So I don't know if it's Travis Glover or who the next guy, Darian Kennard, he's a restricted free agent. So my point is that they got a lot of work to do there. And they're going to let Rashid walk. I think they're going to let John Ryan walk. I think they're going to cut Elgton Jenkins. And so, yeah, I don't want to say that it's been overshadowed because I know, especially on Wednesdays when our show is me with not one but two offensive linemen for a good chunk of the program, we've spent a lot of time on it. And it is a concern, and especially because, you think back to that Bears playoff loss, and they were cooking in the first half, right? They were protecting Love because the Bears' pass rush stinks. But in the second half, especially in those first four series, Dennis Allen dialed up some pressures, and they worked. And that offensive line didn't handle them very well. And they ended up with four punts, 19 total yards, and one first down in those first four series when that was the time to put the game away so you didn't have to worry about a 25-point fourth quarter beating you. So, again, I look at that offensive line, and, Jen, you nailed it. Historically, they've always had guys that were ready to rise up and fill voids when they let people leave. In fact, it didn't work in 2009, but they even had a replacement for Tausch waiting, right? Alan Barber, who actually went on to have a pretty decent career, but he was terrible in 2009, forcing them to re-sign Tausch at midseason as his ACL was finally healthy. And without re-signing him, they might have missed the playoffs. Like, he was a turnstile, and then Tausch put a stop to that. So, yeah, they're not only are they going to let some guys walk that they're not going to pay, not only was their big-ticket free agent signing last year on the offensive line not good enough to be able to unequivocally say, he'll be back. But they don't have that depth where you say, okay, well, I feel good even if we let this guy walk because we got this guy. I don't even know if you could say that about Jordan Morgan, a first-round pick, where you would say, well, I feel really good about where we're at left tackle and we can let Rashid Walker go. Because I think it's more like, well, we haven't really played him at left tackle very often. So hopefully he turns out to be what we thought he was when we drafted him.
If you had money to spend on only one position in free agency this offseason, would that be it, offensive line?
I mean, if I had money this offseason, I wouldn't spend it on their offensive line at all. I've got a lot of other things I'd like to buy instead. But yes,
you're not a delinquent on any other bills, are you, Jason?
I'm not. I am going to text Keith/Mark Neitzel today because Paul has been getting after me about our some electrical issues, and Lord knows no one wants me touching that, or I won't be joining the show ever again. yes, I would, Gabe. And, you know, Tausch and I and Bulaga is obviously an Iowa guy.
Oh, he loves the center. He loves the center coming out of the draft.
We love Tyler Linden. Yep. No. Wait a minute now. Wait a minute now. There's an Iowa center in the draft, you say?
Uh-huh, yeah. And Bulaga, so when I did the Homer Hour earlier this week with Bulaga, he said that if that guy's there in the second round, that's who the Packers should take.
Okay, so this...
It's not the mullet guy, right?
Yeah, I'd have to look up his name. I don't know if he has a mullet or not.
There's a kid from Iowa whose name is Jennings Dunker, and he's kind of becoming a cult hero. He's
like the new Quinn Miners.
Yes, yes.
Remember when Quinn Miners came out of UW-Whitewater
and
everybody
fantastic.
Loved him because of his gut?
Right?
Yeah, he has been. He got a huge extension.
He's
really good. Well, so that adds a... I'm glad... Gabe, this is why I sabotaged your microphone, because I'm so jealous of how good you are at this. That adds a different wrinkle, because speaking of centers from Iowa, we spent a good chunk of our show yesterday talking about Tyler Linderbaum, who is the center from the Ravens, mm-hmm. who is going to be an unrestricted free agent, former first-round pick that they didn't give a fifth-year option to either. Our argument was cut Aaron Banks. You could even make him a close June 1 cut and go get Linderbaum, who I think a lot of people think is just going to end up in New York with the Giants because John Harbaugh is going to want him to be his center there. But go get him, pay him. Now you've got your nerve center at that position resolved, because it was not like... I really like Sean Ryan. Like, he's tough. He swears a lot. Like, he's kind of my kind of offensive lineman.
Yeah, because I think Jason Wilde, I think curse words, yes.
Well, no, I enjoy... that's not my... I don't work in profanities like some artists work in clay or whatever they say in a Christmas Story. But he's got that kind of attitude, right? Mm-hmm. He's an offensive line guy. But if we're being honest, like, he played better than Elgton Jenkins did, who clearly was miscast there, even though Elgton himself thought he could play there. But, like, he wasn't great. So, like, I don't see him as a priority re-sign. And, you know, you let Josh Myers walk because he wasn't good enough either. Well, this offensive line has been at its best. And look, they've had some really good left tackles. You know, Bakhtiari was awesome, right? But they were at their best when they had a really good center, right? When they had Scott Wells, mm-hmm. when they had Corey Linsley.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's drafting this kid from Iowa or signing a guy that went to Iowa, that would potentially solve one of your issues, and then you can figure the rest out. But to put a bow on this, as Tausch likes to say, the offensive line for a team that is still, I think, the third best in terms of Super Bowl odds out of the NFC for 2026, they got some problems there that they have to resolve.
Logan Jones, by the way. Logan Jones is the kid's name.
Okay, so he's not mullet guy.
No.
Different guy.
Yeah, different guy. Logan Jones is the one that Blue was singing the praises of and saying if he's available when the Packers pick in the second round, that's who he would like
to
see them take.
Two last name guys. I don't know about those guys. Logan Jones.
I think it's the last name. I mean, it can
sure.
be, but I look at Logan as more of a first name. And if Logan's your last
Do
name,
you
it's
really?
A first name. It's a last name that's a first name. Yeah.
So, like, is Gabriel is that a last name or is that a first name? That's a first name. Right?
I would say that's a first name. Yeah.
But Roman Gabriel. So he was maybe he's a two first name guy. Roman mm-hmm. Gabriel.
Yeah, okay. that would be
sorry.
A two first
I'm
name.
Guy. We don't have Chewy here, so somebody's got to mess up.
Will the Thrill just reminded us of Dylan Gabriel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another good example.
Jason, it seems...
I'm not watching right now, but I can picture the three of you all looking at each other going, what the hell is Jason drunk? What is he doing?
Jason, the news is still being dominated by the Rich Bisaccia move. Are you hearing any names that fans should be paying attention to as far as the replacement for Rich Bisaccia?
Well, I know our buddy Bill Huber at Sports Illustrated, who lives for this kind of stuff, had two names for guys that were being that are set to be interviewed. I got my guy. I want Ben Cutnica, which I'm not even sure if my guy, I'm pronouncing his name right. But this guy was the interim special teams coordinator for the Rams after they fired Chase Blackburn in December. But I wasn't familiar with Ben's game. He was a team captain at Army, played linebacker for them. And then he went and, like, served in Iraq. He was a helicopter pilot. And then he got into coaching. And he's been a coordinator elsewhere previously in his career. Again, it's not my job to care about whether special teams are good or not. And quite frankly, it would appear since 2007, as Gabe mentioned yesterday, it doesn't matter who coaches them because they're probably going to be mediocre at best. So let's get a guy in there that's got a good story. So Ben's my guy. I want to talk to him about his, you know, military service. And when we have Salute to Service Month, it'll be a perfect feature story. So Ben, I want Ben because, dude, if you're flying helicopters over Iraq, I would think you can figure out who the hell's going to return punts.
No I in team, but there's a me in media, Jason. Thank you for reminding us. Hey, have a great weekend, sir. I'm sure you have some activities of your girls you're going to attend to, and I hope that those all go really well.
No gymnastics meets to run into you at, but we do have a volleyball tournament. So we've had three straight weekends of gymnastics meets. So I'm ready to stop spending 5 hours at a gym to watch each of my children compete for about 4.5 minutes. So, yes. All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
One of these days, I'm going to have to tell you guys about the rant that Dario has gone on when it comes to gymnastics scoring. Because he doesn't understand it at all.
Yeah. There's nuance in there, I'm sure.
What do you mean that was a deduction? I didn't see anything wrong with it. Oh, do you fancy yourself a gymnastics expert now, sweetheart? Covering that on Channel 12 Sports?
He might.
We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We roll on right after this. Stick around.
Boost culture with captivating corporate events like appreciation parties, brand activations, and more. All you have to do is contact our friends at Events by Design. Look, you have probably been to something that Events by Design has had a hand in and maybe don't even know it. I didn't know it last year when they went to the Bucks Soiree. I was at that event. Events by Design helped out with that. They were assisting in the night market this year. Maybe you checked that out. It's right in front of our offices here on Wisconsin Avenue. Maybe you went to the holiday market in front of Fiserv Forum back in November. Those are all things Events by Design helped put on, and they can help you put on a great event like that because for over 25 years, Events by Design has helped companies execute successful events. Retain top talent. Invest in that culture today. Just search online. Events by Design. They design, you party.
Your state, your teams, your ESPN. The ESPN Wisconsin app. Find the ESPN Wisconsin app in the Apple or Android app stores today. More Jen, Gabe, and Chewy coming up on 94.5 ESPN.
We've enjoyed having Professional Construction Inc. help us out with our home projects. As you might know, my husband and I are not the most handy, but when you have a project crop up like we have, we rely on our friends over at PCI. Whether it's a remodeling project, a home addition, or maybe you're thinking about building a brand new home, the PCI team is here for you. Did you know PCI was at my house yesterday? Had a project idea, brought the guys out. Mike was wonderful, told me why my idea will not work, which was disappointing. But I appreciate the expertise and the knowledge, right? Because otherwise I get about halfway into a project and then all of a sudden it's like, I don't think this is going to work. My friends over at PCI keep me on the straight and narrow. You can learn more at ProfessionalConstructionInc.com. That's ProfessionalConstructionInc.com. A lot of stuff to still get to this morning, including what the heck is going on with the Chicago Bears, or should I say the Hammond Bears. We'll dive into that as the show rolls on. We were talking earlier this morning about the offensive line with Jason Wilde. Gabe, what is your level of concern? When you look at that chart, and I would encourage everybody to pull it up if they can or look at it if they can, Mike Clay from ESPN put out a list. He basically took all of the positions on the offensive line and graded them based on how they did this past year. Very right, green and red and white and that type of thing. Green is good. White is average. Red is, of course, bad. And then bright red is weren't even a starter in 2025. And he's projecting the offensive lines in 2026. And that's where I got a little nervous comparing what he has for Green Bay to what the Lions have, the Vikings have, and the Bears have.
Yeah, I mean, Zach Tom, fantastic. Middle of the line, question mark. Jordan Morgan was fairly average. And I'm guessing that's where Rashid Walker probably would have graded out too. So I don't think it matters who you have in that left tackle spot. But figuring out I guess I didn't realize how bad Anthony Belton was. I thought, yeah, there were some moments where it didn't work out, but he's a young guy learning to play that position. But
he's a below average.
Yeah.
Pink,
so when I look at that, yeah, he's not like one of the darker red. But when I look at it, I mean, is it a guarantee that he's starting at right guard next year? If they can find somebody better, that's where the offensive line is so interesting, because outside of the two tackle positions, it feels like everything else is potentially up for grabs. It feels like, yes, Jordan Morgan, you put a first round pick into him, he's going to be your left tackle because it'd be too expensive to bring back Rashid Walker. And honestly, Morgan struggled on the interior, played better at right tackle when Zach Tom was out. Hopefully he can make that transition to left tackle. And Zach Tom, when healthy, is one of the best right tackles in all of football. He gets paid like that. But the interior three, having to turn that over, it's a little worrisome. It's a little concerning to me, because if Aaron Banks isn't back, and I just keep coming back to, you're not saving enough to cut him. It just doesn't make sense why you would open up another hole along your offensive line. And I'd be really curious to know what his grade was the last 7 weeks of the season, because once he got healthy, it seemed like he was playing better. And maybe that was a false perception by me, but it seemed like he was playing better. So I'd be curious to know what that would look like. But the interior of this line needs to be better for the Packers to do what we talk about them doing. If they want to have any chance, you got to have a better interior three next year, or they have to play better than what we got out of the Packers interior three this year.
So to be clear again, Mike Clay posted this on social media. You can take a look at it. It is a current look at each NFL team's offensive lines with all of the undrafted free agents removed. So it's sort of projecting again who would be there if the free agents are gone. And I think it's worrisome that the Chicago Bears, and we know that they invested a ton of money into their offensive line, that was a big priority for them last year, are green across the board with one exception, and it's a white, which is average. So they've got a bright green, they got three regular greens, I don't know, light greens, they got one, their left tackle is a average performer. You go up to the Detroit Lions, and they have green, pink, pink, white, bright green in Penei Sewell.
One of the best right tackles in football.
Correct. And then you go over to Minnesota, and they are green across the board. I'm sorry, I call
green
it white,
white
green,
yeah.
But white is average. But green at three of the positions and white at two. So again, it's a remedial-ish graph, but the Packers on this graph, guys, are by far the worst offensive line in the division. And that should be raising alarm bells for fans, and you would hope, Gabe, the front office, who obviously needs to improve at this position.
Yeah, it's they blew up the offensive line, and for what reason, it's unknown, right? Why? In retrospect, I guess it's easy to say, man, they should have just should probably kept Josh Myers at center, especially as cheap as he was, and try to figure out everything else and not ask Elgton Jenkins, who had become so good at right guard, but they thought he could transition seamlessly over to center. And signing Aaron Banks just blew up this offensive line, and I don't know if there's an easy fix. Like, it was easier to be torn down from being a couple of years ago one of the top offensive lines in football, and it blew up into what it became this year, which is why I take a look at, you know, you keep seeing these stories or these tweets, like, oh, maybe Josh Jacobs becomes a salary cap casualty. I can't imagine in what world that would happen, because you need somebody like that that can get yards after contact. If this is going to be the offensive line, you can't put a guy who's not, you know, adept at being a little bit more powerful or breaking tackles the way Josh Jacobs is and expect to have any semblance of a run game if this is the type of offensive line that you run out there.
What I find interesting, though, is as I'm looking at this list, Sean Ryan nowhere to be found.
Yeah.
How do you see Sean Ryan going forward?
I mean, he's probably an average player. I talked with Blue about that when I filled in on the Homer Hour earlier this week, and he likes Sean Ryan, and we were on the same page. I would bring back Sean Ryan, because I don't think it's going to be that expensive. And let's say you bring back Sean Ryan and go, okay, we think he's going to be our starting center. But then, you know, you end up drafting a guy or bringing somebody else in, there's competition, and Sean Ryan gets beat out. Well, now you have your interior backup along all three positions. And for $3, $4, $5 million, whatever he's going to ultimately end up costing on a per year basis, it seems like that's worth it. Because we just listened to the names that Jason just listed off of, well, if he's not here, okay, do you slide this guy in at guard and center? It's not very good. So not only do the Packers need starters on the offensive line, they need depth. And I think Sean Ryan could be a depth piece if he's ultimately not your starting center. And I don't think that's a bad thing to bring him back, but it seems like the Packers are more than willing to move on. Again, opening up even more holes along this offensive line.
Now, it's interesting on Get Up on the televisions above us, they are talking about the NFC North win totals, and we were discussing that this morning as well. Green Bay and the Lions lead the pack right now at 10.5. This is according to DraftKings. We typically use Potawatomi here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, but we can check their numbers as well. How do you feel about 10.5 wins for your Green Bay Packers right now?
I mean, it's... I feel like those numbers ultimately get overinflated right now, because if you're betting on your team when the offseason hasn't even gotten close to getting started, chances are you're the optimistic fan, and these sports books are now protecting themselves, and that number is going to be a little bit higher. I mean, if the Packers, if we want to be sitting here feeling good about the Packers in early January, better be over. It's going to have to be over if you want to win that division, and that's something that the Packers have to do in 2026. Right now, before the offseason, I don't feel great about over 10.5. I mean, it seems pretty accurate, 9, 10, 11 wins. I think they're going to be somewhere in that grouping, but without seeing what they do this offseason, I think it's really hard to sit here and go, yep, no doubts whatsoever. They're going to be able to figure this thing out, because I probably would have said that last year. Yeah, over 10.5. But even before the offseason. And the offseason didn't work out the way they wanted, and they ended up winning 9 games. So I don't say I'd be confident in the over. If I had to say one or the other, I probably would say over. But I don't feel great about it.
For what it's worth, the bet that we made here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, what was that, 2 weeks ago?
Yes.
A week and a half ago? I don't even remember at this point.
Last Friday? Did we just come up with it? I think we came up with it a week ago.
1 week ago, actually.
I think it was 1 week ago today.
Great callback then, if it was 1 week ago. We put together this parlay here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We said Packers to win the division. We said Brewers to win the division. And we said the Bucks to make the play-in tournament. And at the time, the Bucks to make the play-in tournament was plus 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
Gabe gave us an update early in the week. I believe it was on Monday.
Yep.
Letting us know that that number had changed dramatically. It is now plus 400. Well, I got news for you, gang. I just went and checked it on the Potawatomi Sportsbook app. Now it's plus 300.
Whew.
So you think there were a bunch of people who went to Potawatomi and started betting on the Bucks to make the play-in tournament, hoping to get our plus 1,000 odds, but then were okay getting the plus 400 odds, and now they've been like, whoa, 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 whoa. Because to your point, they still haven't played since the All-Star break. They play tonight.
They do. They got a little bit of help. So the Bulls lost yesterday, so now they're officially ahead of the Bulls in 11th place in the East. The Hornets lost last night to the Rockets, so now the Bucks are just a game and a half behind of the Charlotte Hornets for that 10th spot in the play-in tournament. So they got a little bit of help, but I can't imagine that those two losses and a half game in the standings for the Bucks would have also then moved the line another 100 points like that.
I was trying to see if I could find the bet slip. And I am sure it's in our text chain somewhere.
Yeah. Wait, you just want to make sure that you got the odds that... Yeah, you made it. I'm pretty sure you made it last week.
It's like when you go to the airport, Gabe, and you're told to go to D45 as far as your gate. So you walk to D45 and you go, mm-hmm. Yep, still there. And then you go and get your coffee or you go and get your snacks. You just want to make sure. I just wanted to make sure that we got the plus 1,000 odds on the Bucks to make the play-in tournament.
Yeah, you did send it, but where...
Maybe you got rid of it. We text back and forth in our group chat so much that you have to scroll.
Well, I just went to like the photos.
I did that as well.
It's not in there.
It didn't show up, and that's why I said you got to go to the thing and you got to do the scroll. Because I did the same thing as you. I thought I was going to beat the system. I'm just going to go to the list where it says photos. Didn't work.
Huh.
We'll find it. I'm not worried. It's there. My question was, has the Green Bay Packers division winner odds changed at all since we placed that bet 1 week ago?
I can't imagine those would have changed that much, because again, those were kind of more in the realistic. Again, they weren't these huge odds where it would just over leverage the casino.
Exactly the same, plus 175. And then the Brewers, we got the Brewers for the division lead at plus 265, and now it is 275. So a slight change on the Brewers to win the division. in the last week or so.
Going the other way. That's interesting.
800-990-3776. What's your level of concern for the Green Bay Packers offensive line? We'll put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Infinity Exteriors poll. You can weigh in on that. Still a lot of stuff to get to this morning. Stick around.
Tired of always waking up exhausted? Is that dad bod starting to weigh on you? Finding it harder to get excited about, you know, basically anything? If your energy, focus, and drive aren't what they used to be, it might not be that you're just getting older. I know it's something I've told myself. I guarantee I'm not the only one who lied to myself like that. Because mentality can help. There's a good chance your hormones and metabolism are out of balance. So this new year, let's get back to that old you. I know you remember that guy, sharp at work, full of energy, fun, the one that people enjoyed being around. That's where mentality comes in. I've used mentality for years, so I can vouch when I say it's not a macho T bro low T clinic. No, it's not what that is. They're human-centered missions to figure out what's really going on in your body and your brain. Mentality starts by listening. Try to figure out what's going on with you. They run real labs, explain your results in plain English, and then here's the best part. This isn't one size fits all. No, they build you a personalized science-backed plan using hormone therapy and FDA-approved peptide treatments to help get your brain and body back on track. So stop telling yourself and everyone around you that you're fine, because it can be better. Right now, all new patient labs are covered in your first treatment plan. It's a savings of $250 right out of the gate. Reclaim the old you, the younger you, with mentality.
More Jen, Gabe, and Chewy coming up on 94.5 ESPN.
Back here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, and just want to give a tiny shout out to the state of Florida. I know, doesn't happen very often, but apparently they are dabbling in common sense, it would appear, Gabe, as they announced, I think yesterday is when I saw the tweet, that they are going to make a rule allowing high school coaches to use $15,000 out of their own pocket, out of their own fund, to benefit student athletes. And they're calling it the Teddy Bridgewater Act. You might remember that Teddy Bridgewater was suspended from his alma mater in 2025 after he said he had to use his own money to pay for food and transportation for his football team. He was the coach. He was paying for some of his pals.
His team.
Team, yes. Players is the word I was looking for, but my brain just short-circuited. He was paying for some of his players.
If he was playing, I would have an issue with him playing high school football. Yes. I think I would draw the line there. Yes.
Certainly, Teddy Bridgewater. You can't be QBing your high school team. But since he was coaching and using his own money to pay for meals and transportation, that was apparently against the law. That was apparently against the rules, and he was suspended. Gabe, thank goodness somebody said, you know what? We probably should allow these coaches to do that if they desire to.
It's crazy because I think about when I was in high school, like maybe this is a rule and we just ignored it in Wisconsin, because when I was varsity high school football, after the game on Friday night, especially after home games, we would end up in the weight room and we'd watch the game back, and our head coach would buy us pizza. Like, there'd be pizza there. And that way, you know, we'd eat it, watch it, kind of go over some different stuff. And so he's providing the pizza. Was that against the rules? Was that not allowed? You can't buy your team some pizzas after the game? Like, that's just, especially if he's paying for the transportation. Like, who cares? Like, this is, it reminds me of another story when Bo Ryan was the head coach at Wisconsin. And whether the story is true or not, I'm not sure, but he loved to tell it. He had a recruit on campus, and it was, you know, over the summer months, it was a hot day, you know, touring the campus. They get back to Bo's office, and, you know, obviously it's a hot day. They're walking around, kids thirsty. And Bo goes into the little mini refrigerator he had in his office. He grabs a bottle of water and goes, wait. He could not give the kid a bottle of water, because at that point, obviously now things have changed, but at that point in college athletics, that would have been an impermissible benefit to give him a bottle of water. So he had to give him water out of the tap.
I was going to say, could he give him a cup of water from
because
the sink?
Because that doesn't have a monetary value while the bottle of water would have had monetary value attached to it.
It just blows my mind, to be honest with you, that we have to have a law put in place, an act put in place, in order to protect people from being punished for things like this. You know, they're still kids at the end of the day.
Yes.
Right? And probably from varying socioeconomic backgrounds. You know, if you as a human being recognize when someone needs something, whether it's a standard meal after a hard practice or whether it's like a kid who actually needs food, I saw a story recently about a lunch lady who was fired, you know, and there were multiple examples of it, but it was sort of an aggregate on social media because she was giving a kid who couldn't pay for lunch, you know, the whatever was left, a cheese sandwich or whatever was being handed out for everybody else who was getting hot lunch. And they were like, no, you can't do that. She was like, he was hungry. What are you talking about? What are we doing? You know, and it does feel like I understand there would be people that might take advantage of a situation. It doesn't seem like that was the case in Teddy Bridgewater's case. But I sort of am glad that he got suspended because it raised everybody's eyebrows. It raised awareness for this going on. And now this law has been passed so that coaches can do what they need to do in order to support their teams.
Yeah, look, I mean, some schools are going to have more of an advantage because of who they have, right? Like, and that's just the way these things go. I went to Horicon High School. The facilities we had were great, and now they've gotten even better. They've got a turf field, all those sorts of things. Like, we're a small community. We weren't going to be able to compete with like what Arrowhead could offer their athletes. There's more money in that community, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. If there's people in that community who want to give Arrowhead the great locker rooms that they have and the facilities, that's fantastic. I just don't understand that. Why this had to be an issue in the first place. Like, if he wanted to, even just out of, we're traveling to the games, I don't want to take a school bus. I want to upgrade us to a coach bus. There shouldn't be anything wrong with that in the first place. Because, okay, he's got the money, he's got the means. If that's what he wants to spend his money on, go for it, man. That's just an advantage that some places have and other places don't. And it's just part of how high school athletics work.
Let me just add one more nugget here before we wrap this up. The Teddy Bridgewater Act being passed in Florida, which says that coaches from kindergarten through 12 can now spend up to $15,000 per year of their own funds to benefit the student athletes. That, of course, is food. That, of course, is transportation or recovery services. The detail I wanted to add is this. Teddy Bridgewater was a volunteer coach. He was volunteering his time. He was offering his expertise. He was trying to benefit that community free of charge.
Yeah.
And they suspended him.
He was losing money.
Significant amount.
Yeah.
It's wild. Again, I guess all's well that ends well. They have now allowed that, and Teddy Bridgewater's name is going to be on that act going forward. That might be Teddy Bridgewater's legacy, by the way. Certainly tied to it.
I mean, Teddy Two Gloves. That lives forever.
Oh, how about when he was dancing on the track with the dance team? You guys remember that?
Nope.
Okay, I'm going to pull up a video during the break and enlighten
you. It's tough to be part of the legacy if it's not that memorable.
It will be once you see it. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on. Stick around. Seriously?
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy are back after this on 94.5 ESPN.